SBS, a world of difference. You're with SBS Ukrainian on mobile, online, and on radio.
Ви з SBS українською на мобільних, в інтернеті та на радіо.
Hello from the BBC in London. I'm Rob Hugh-Jones with an update on the war in Ukraine. The country's defense minister, Oleksiy Reznikov, says up to 100 Ukrainian soldiers a day are being killed in the war. The city of Severodonetsk, which before the conflict had a population of around 100,000, remains the epicenter, says our reporter Joe Inwood, who's in Ukraine.
The battle for Severodonetsk has been intensifying in recent weeks, with both sides claiming gains and losses. In his nightly address, President Zelensky said his forces were inflicting heavy casualties on the Russians. In many respects, the fate of the Donbass is being decided there, he said. And according to the top official in the region, it may not be going in his favour. Sergei Hadai said that Ukrainian forces had been pushed back by intense Russian shelling and now only held the outskirts of Severodonetsk. But control over this city has ebbed and flowed in recent days. And with the more defensible city of Lysychansk sitting just across the river, Russia will not find its path into the Donbass an easy one.
Joe Inwood, he mentions there the top Ukrainian official in the region, Sergei Hadai, who's also made another impassioned plea for Western military aid. He said if the West supplied long-range artillery, Ukrainian defenders would, quote, clean up Severodonetsk in 2 to 3 days. The US and UK have said they will supply such weaponry, but when and how is under discussion. So how are the Russians viewing this important battle in the East? Well, speaking to the BBC, here's Russia's top representative at the United Nations, Vasily Nabenzia.
I think it is progressing. Nobody promised to deliver it in 3 or 7 days, as some pundits are saying now that the Russian special military operation stalled and is not progressing at the pace that was initially envisaged. But the progress is being made, that's clear. One of the reasons of the so-called slow pace is that we are not targeting civilian infrastructure and areas deliberately. We're only hitting military targets and it takes time. We're not doing carpet bombing or anything else. But the progress is there, that's for sure.
Elsewhere, in its first report since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization has warned of growing global food insecurity. Our reporter Imogen Fuchs has been reading the report.
The poorest countries on the planet, many of whom depend on imports of wheat and vegetable oil from Ukraine, are paying more money. Global food import costs are expected to reach a new record of $1.8 trillion this year, not because of increased imports, but because of higher prices. Many farmers in low-income countries can no longer afford Russian fertilizer. Their crops are much reduced.
Imogen Fuchs, in the Sahel region of Africa, the report says UN aid agencies have had to cut rations because their funds buy less food and fuel. Meanwhile, Poland's president has criticized the leaders of France and Germany for continuing to talk to President Putin while the war goes on. Emmanuel Macron and Olaf Scholz have maintained contact with the Russian leader in an attempt to find a negotiated end to the conflict. But in an interview with Germany's Bild magazine, Andrzej Duda, the Polish president, asked if anyone talked like that with Adolf Hitler. Poland is one of Ukraine's strongest supporters and has taken in the most Ukrainian refugees. Of the 7 million Ukrainians who fled the war thus far, the vast majority have found refuge in the West, but 1 million have ended up in Russia itself. Russia claims to have rescued them. Ukraine says they've been illegally deported there against their will. The BBC's Tim Ewell has been speaking to some Ukrainians who've been moved to Russia.
In the accommodation centre in Nakhodka, normally a holiday camp, a boy called Slavik is playing a keyboard. It's one of many gifts to the refugees from local Russians who feel sorry for them, regardless of whom they blame for the war. And another young arrival from Mariupol, an architecture student called Vlada, has been given a place at the local university to continue her studies. She says the refugees can come and go as they like, and she and her family now want to settle down in the Russian Far East.
There are lots of possibilities for jobs. So I think we like it.
Tatiana Davgal got out of Russia as fast as she could.
How could you live in a country that attacked you, that took everything away from you, and then work for that country?
Those are some of the latest developments on day 106 of Russia's invasion. I'm Rob Hugh Jones at the BBC.